is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
The margin of error is very low. I mean, you can't. You know, it's almost like, you know, playing the Patriots. You just can't have mistakes. They're not going to beat themselves. You know, when you're able to either force a miscue on them, you have to be able to capitalize. And then you have to be so in tune and razor sharp and focused every single possession. You can't have miscommunication. You can't have laws. You can't have my faults or my bads and things like that, because they're going to make you pay. And when they make you pay, it's a 3-0 or 6-0 or 9-0 run. And it's, you know, and it comes in bunches. So, you know, the room for error is just, you just can't have it.
Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. LeBron James, after the game the other night, talking about Golden State. You can't have mental errors. It's like playing the Patriots. Do you read anything into that? I do. Is he sucking up to Boston? Is he sucking up to the Celtics? Is he sucking up to the whole Boston thing? I think so.
Crossed my mind when I saw it.
Sort of a random thing. Sort of a random thing to say out of nowhere. The end of an NBA Finals basketball postgame show. They're like the Patriots. Huh. I definitely think there's something to it. To answer the previous caller's question, LeBron should want to come here. This is his best chance to beat the Golden State Warriors, is to come here. And all the stuff he's been talking about the last couple days about needing a smart team and a team that thinks the game, and we'll play you all the sound here, he's talking about the Celtics. Or a team like the Celtics, but who is like the Celtics? So I give it more credence than ever. And now Chris Mannix writes, and Jimmy poo-poos it, but Chris Mannix says on his podcast that, I think they're scared, meaning the Celtics as it relates to Kyrie Irving. Mannix says, I think they're scared. I think they're scared and should be scared to some degree of Kyrie walking in 2019. Again, Chris Mannix on his podcast. I know he had a great year, but there are people in Cleveland that will tell you that the Knicks should be considered the real threat for Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie had talked about it, about playing with the Knicks with some players in that Cleveland locker room, from what I was told. So, what can I tell you? The caller asked. I think LeBron should want to come here. And if you're the Celtics, how the hell do you not listen?
I mean, LeBron hasn't gotten over game one of the finals yet. And at one point, he looked at Ty Lue and said, we had a timeout and you didn't call it. And now he's talking about smart teams. And, like, you know, so, look, the same thoughts occurred to me when I saw the remarks. Like, you know, he's buttering up Boston. He's making it sound like, I mean, he's going out of his way to give you signals.
All right, Jimmy, can you play me some LeBron sound from the last couple of days?
No, well, I mean, guys, you guys asked me what's the difference between the Warriors. You guys asked me this last year. What was the difference between the Warriors the previous year and this year? What was my answer? All right, there it is. You know, Kevin Durant was my answer. You know, he's one of the best players that I've ever played against, that this league has ever seen. His ability to handle the ball, shoot the ball, you know, make plays at his length, at his size, at his speed. So there it is.
Okay, so that was, I just thought that was an interesting cut. It's not related to what we're talking about, but I thought he's really expounded the last couple of days on what it takes. Well, for example, Jimmy, give me another one.
We come back here and we get the minds and we build a championship team, and then Golden State, because of Steph's injuries early on in his career and his contract situation, and then them drafting Draymond and drafting Clay, and them being under the contracts they were in, allowed their franchise to go out to get KD. And so they win a championship, and then we play them, and we come back from 3-1, and we beat them. But that was the best regular season, probably the best team I had ever played against. They go 73-9, and then you add one of the best players that the NBA has ever seen. So now everyone's trying to figure that out. How do you put together a group of talent, but also a group of minds as well, to be able to compete with Golden State, to be able to compete for a championship?
Okay, he's big on the minds and the
totally
thinking the game, and he goes on and on about this. Jimmy, keep going.
In order to win, you got to have talent, but you got to be very cerebral too. There's so many. Listen, we're all NBA players. Everybody know how to put the ball in a hoop, but who can think throughout the course of the game? And you know, this is so challenging for me to sit up here and say, because of people who really don't know the game, don't really know what I'm talking about. They just think that you just go out and, like, oh, LeBron, you're bigger and faster and stronger than everybody. You should drive every single time, and you should dunk every single play, and you should never get tired. Never. Like, it's a video game and you went on the options and you turned down fatigue all the way to zero and injuries all the way down to zero. So we come back here and we get the minds and we build a championship team.
Okay, so I love that comment right there. Like, he's so right. I've come to appreciate that more and more. He can't. I mean, you want him to stick his head down and get to the basket and get to the line every single time. You can't do that. He plays 46 minutes a night. He can't do it. That's not. It's not a video game. And when someone leaves a teammate of his wide open in the corner with a 10-foot radius around him, the ball has to go there and that individual has to hit the shot. It's the NBA, and I liked him addressing that. But the whole thing about the cerebral thing and thinking the game, you know, especially playing with the bozos that he's playing with and coming off the J.R. Smith thing and the coach that he has, you know, you look and say, well, who's he talking about? He's talking about a couple teams.
Celtics, maybe San Antonio.
Right.
I mean, it's really, you know, he's talking about organizational structure and discipline and intelligence and all of that. And so, and go back to the Durant comment 2 comments ago. He's talking about ownership. Put yourself in a spot where you can draft good guys, you have them on good contracts, and then all of a sudden KD pops up after you lose and you still can go sign him because you have the flexibility to do it.
The Celtics.
I mean, it does sound like he's talking about the Celtics. What other team could you really say that about? Again, San Antonio, maybe. But I had the exact same thoughts when I saw these remarks. I went, oof, LeBron's playing the game. Now, what I don't know is this just about LeBron creating the appearance that certain teams want him for some reason so he can leverage them and negotiate? But I don't mean financially leverage them.
Yeah.
I mean get what he wants.
Which is his own GM or his own
exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about LeBron saying, I'll come, but I got to have X, Y, and Z.
So that's the only thing he's negotiating because it ain't money.
No. He's going to get the money no matter what. And honestly, he doesn't even need the money. But I wonder, is he playing some sort of game? Or does he really go home at night and say, I want to play for the Celtics. I want to play for Stevens. I want to play for Ainge. And I want to play for that owner because the guy I had in Cleveland was a clown.
And now all of a sudden, Chris Mannix has Kyrie Irving leaving in 2019 for the Knicks. So it's like, is that a coincidence?
Well, this is from last summer, too. This is from Pablo Torre, who is sitting here on First Take.
I got a phone call. And the voice on the other end of that phone call is a trustworthy person. And he was saying to me that Kyrie Irving very badly wants to be a New York Knick. Kyrie Irving wants to come home.
this is great. So I don't know who that is. It's just a panelist on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine, I'll take it. So, like, I just wonder. So I was, you know, we all were for this. If signing LeBron meant you had to move on from Kyrie, would you do it? Yes, yes, yes. Maz has so far been no.
I've been emphatic on the no.
So
no
where,
way.
Where are you today?
If Kyrie doesn't want to be here and you can't sign him, you don't have a choice. You have to do it. Sign LeBron, get rid of Kyrie. Yep.
No.
That's what you do. That's what you do. Otherwise, you're being negligent. Like, I look at it as the state of your franchise. To me, that's where your obligation rests. You have to do what is best for your franchise. If it's one more year of Kyrie versus 3 of LeBron, you move on from Kyrie. See you later.
I mean, Mannix is pretty plugged in. And again, the Mike Gorman stuff from earlier this week
was like, out of nowhere, it felt like, but maybe not.
It just feels like there's some smoke there. It's surprising to me. But if they know, like, he might not want to sign here past 2019, then yeah, like, explore all options. Talk to LeBron. You'd be crazy not to.
So Kyrie was a Jersey kid, right? I think he played high school ball in Jersey, yeah.
So anyway, there's your LeBron thoughts. How about you? John in the car. Go ahead, John.
All right, so, you know, LeBron, and, you know, the way he is, he wants the Celtics part of his legacy. And, all right, that's fine. But do the Celtics and their legacy need him part of theirs?
So you don't want him? So you're saying you don't want him?
I mean, it's like A-Rod jumping from the Yankees to the Red Sox. Do you really want that?
Right. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? You want to win. You want banners. You want championships. But at what cost?
This guy scares the hell out of me, I'll tell you that.
And a guy that you've hated your entire life and rooted against your entire life and have wanted nothing to do with other than beat him your entire life, now wants to come to your team, which would mean championships. But is that too steep of a price for you? You know, for some it is. Adam Jones, chief among them, a hoopologist at night, says, lifelong Celtics fan, I'd only half root for you. And I'd only give you half credit. You'd sell your soul. If you allowed LeBron to come in here, you would sell your soul on who you are.
I mean, there's a lot of that.
And you agree with it, don't you?
I do agree with it. There's a lot of that. That's a problem. Which is why I would take Kyrie over him. But if it's no, you know, if it's LeBron or nothing.
What if LeBron's changing before your eyes?
I don't buy it.
I do a little bit.
I don't. I don't. I just don't think he can help himself.
Well, what's Kyrie?
I mean, he's not that bad.
Okay, but he's a year in, and already I have to listen to him about going to the Knicks? Where'd this come from?
Okay, but again, that was there before. And even so, is he requiring, like, certain things from the GM?
Who knows?
It's a league full of mercenaries.
Who knows? Exactly. It's a league full of diva mercenary a-holes.
Mike, do you think that LeBron and Kyrie are on the same level when it comes to that?
I'm just telling you, Kyrie has his own set of problems, too.
Okay, but not like that guy. Not like LeBron. And problems is the wrong word. I'm just saying high maintenance.
Yes.
Like, LeBron redefines high maintenance. We're talking about skyscraper high maintenance with LeBron. It's off the charts.
Do you think the LeBron to the Celtics story is more or less real than when it started?
More.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
More.
So, it's...
But again, it all depends on Kyrie. If they can keep Kyrie, that's plan A.
We continue with this. We continue with everything else from the week on Agenda Free Friday right to you after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Bass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
What extent do you think Alex Guerrero and the work you've done with him has helped extend your career and allowed you to be at your peak physically at age 31?
I think it's a huge part. It's a lifestyle on how to take care of your body, what you put in your body, fleshing your body with his work before and after practice, keeping your muscles pliable, keeping them hydrated. Those things, all it is knowledge, and the more knowledge you get through the years, the more powerful you can get. You know, that's kind of the old saying, more knowledge, more power. So it's definitely helped me a lot, and I look forward to continue doing it.
Julian Edelman on the TB12 method and Alex Guerrero. About how important the program is in terms of what you put in your body. That was Julian Edelman last year. So again, just continue to play a sound of Julian Edelman talking about the TB12 program and Guerrero and how important he is to him and the methods that they use and how complete that, again, how he leans on Guerrero for what he puts in his body. Now, he just said it in his own words right there. He relies on Alex and that method for those sort of things. What you put in your body, what you flush out of your body, etc., etc. So, when you fail a drug test, I think it's fair to go to the person he talked about in terms of managing what you put in your body. Here is John in Canton. Go ahead, John. Hello, John. Are you there? Okay, you can call us back. You know the number. Agenda Free Friday, Joe in Weymouth. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you going?
Good. What do you got?
Listen, what I got is Maz just left the planet with thinking that the Patriots would be better off if it came down to this, where Brady goes to the office and says Bill Belichick has to be fired, and they fire Belichick. First of all,
that was Murray.
Huh?
No. That was Murray, but go ahead.
Oh, Murray, you're off your rocker. Listen, Murray, first of all, they made a huge mistake in not trading Brady. I know that this is crazy coming from New England because Brady has done so much for us, but the actual good long-term for the team was to trade Brady for two first-rounders or a first and a second if you can get them in the same draft. You trade Brady, you keep Garoppolo. Brady's great for the next 3, maybe 4 years. Garoppolo keeps our team great for 15.
Yeah, look, I've said that a million times, 100%.
Maybe. I mean, I was Team Brady on this. I'm glad that they sided with Brady. But more importantly, ownership sided with Brady. They chose him. So Belichick has to live with that now, and I'm sure it's been a bitter pill for him to swallow. So, you know, he has to surround him with as much talent as possible. Doesn't seem like he's doing that now, especially getting rid of Danny Amendola if he wanted to trade Rob Gronkowski, as has been alluded to this afternoon.
It's just crazy to think about what has happened. The owner says you keep the quarterback. And in the very next offseason, Tom Brady's top 4 weapons have all taken a shot. Or here's what I mean. Danny Amendola gone. Julian Edelman suspended. Rob Gronkowski traded almost today and then pulled off or something. Something was going on today with Rob Gronkowski. Left tackle gone. No one's even mentioned Brandon Cooks, which he did help the offense. He wasn't really replaced. I mean, it's like...
I forgot about Cooks.
I mean, Deion Lewis, if you want to put him on the list. Like, they've let a lot of all those things go. But really, just Brady's crew. His crew, his boys. Amendola, Edelman, Gronk. One by one, getting picked off. So play with that however you want to. Joe in the car. Go ahead, Joe.
Joe, it's me?
Yes, it's you.
Okay. So the best part of the conspiracy is that Kraft blocked the trade of Gronkowski, and now he's going to trade Bill Belichick to Tampa Bay and treat him just like Brady's best buddy, his guard, that he traded down there.
So I don't know if it works with coaches like it does like players. You have to go there and coach. It doesn't work that way. I'm almost positive it doesn't work that way.
No, I think there'd have to be interest first and Belichick wanting to go, and then there's compensation.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Right. Because Bill, if Gronkowski's traded to Tampa, he's compelled to play for Tampa, or he sits out. Bill, if he's traded to Tampa, is not compelled to coach for Tampa.
Correct.
His contract is with Kraft, not the NFL. I think that's the difference.
Every one of those deals that's ever happened, Parcells wanted to leave, Belichick wanted to come, Gruden wanted to leave and go to Tampa. Like, there was all that stuff was all, you know, the coach sort of driving it. With Belichick, as far as Kraft's standpoint, it's really two options: keep him or fire him. That's it. I mean, that's the only choice he had. Those are the only choices he has.
We've got Andy in Hanover on LeBron. Hi, Andy.
I can't believe I'm actually siding with Maz. But if anyone's noticed LeBron, especially during the Celtics season, I think the Celtics series, I think his big frame is actually becoming his liability. And you're going to see Kevin Durant in these next couple of years really close the gap in terms of who's the greatest of that generation. Kyrie wanted to go to the Knicks before Brad Stevens and Jason Tatum and all these role players have presented themselves. I think Kyrie sticks around, and I think you have to pass on LeBron, because if you bring LeBron in, Kyrie's already said he doesn't want to play with him. Can't do it. Just can't do it.
Okay. It's a fair trade-off, or it's kind of the Garoppolo questions. 3 years of LeBron over eight with Kyrie, call it. And I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it because I think Kyrie's knees are a bigger concern than... Or I think they should be a concern. Let's just put it to you like that. He's an injury-prone ball player, and LeBron's a horse. And you're not mortgaging your future because you still have all your young kids. If you just let Kyrie go, use the money to sign LeBron, you still have Tatum, you still have LeBron. You still have Brown. You have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and you have Sacramento's lottery pick next year. And maybe Kyrie gets you a really high pick or a really good young player. So you're definitely not mortgaging your future. You're just swapping out the Kyrie years for LeBron and sort of front-loading it, which I think is worth it.
I just like the longer window. I like the longer window. So, but again, if Kyrie doesn't want to be here, that's a different thing altogether. As for the caller's point that Durant's closing the gap potentially, no shot. LeBron's way better. That's strong. LeBron's better than Durant. Okay, did Durant ever get a team to the finals the way LeBron has?
No, not even close.
I mean, not with the cast of characters that he had. No.
Durant lights it up when there's nothing to lose, when he's up big in a series and he's got Hall of Famers all around him. Then it's free and easy and he can score 40 and, you know, do his mean mugging and all of that when zero pressure on the guy. How Durant has played the last 2 years or even the other night, I have no more respect for him than I did before. None. Zero. Does nothing for me. Zero.
I mean, they got to one finals with OKC, right?
Yes.
Didn't they get to one?
Yeah.
That was it. But again, he had some players around him that were half-decent, not like the bums LeBron has. And LeBron's done it more than once.
Half-decent. It was Westbrook and Harden on that team. And that was a gentleman's sweep.
Durant, the last couple of years, and even the other night, showed me nothing. Zero. Dante and Linfield. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, guys. I just really think we really need to start talking about the Red Sox as a World Series contender. And it's really driven by the emergence of Andrew Benintendi. He's been absolutely on fire since the Houston series, which, Maz, I don't know how the hell you think you take away bad thoughts from that series. And, like, we finally have a kid who wants to come down to your ballpark, take his pants off, and dance on your lawn. He has that edge. He has the things we've been talking about they were missing last year. And I just really think they're really there this year.
Andrew Benintendi, a difference maker, Maz.
I mean, if he's playing like he's playing now, yes. But again, he's hot. So talk to me in August and September. Last year, he faded at the end. He's not that big. So look, again, what you're seeing right now, he looks like Bryce Harper Jr., for crying out loud, with what he's doing right now. If that keeps up and he ends up being a 35 home run guy, then he's a different animal. But I need to see it first.
Nancy in Providence for Murray. Go ahead, Nancy.
Murray, I have a question. I want to know if you take drugs during the afternoon. But maybe I should apologize to you first because I didn't realize that you were saying what conspiracy theories are out there.
Drug-free from 2 to 7, lady. Why, what's up?
I thought that you were saying that Belichick and, called on Edelman, that you made this up. He called on Edelman to rat him out about the steroids.
Mm-hmm.
That would make absolutely no sense because Belichick's ego is way too big. He wants to go down as the greatest coach in the history of football.
I mean, that's already going to happen anyway.
Just like Tom Brady wants to go down as the best quarterback in NFL history. So the two of them are battling each other. Now, while I do believe that Belichick sent Garoppolo to San Francisco to spite Brady, I wouldn't believe that he called on Edelman to spite Brady. That I can't believe.
Well, the Garoppolo part would make no sense to spite Brady. I just think, look,
yes,
obviously
Brady would want to go to San Francisco if he wanted to go anywhere else.
Yeah, that he's always wanted to play for his hometown team. That's right. Look, is it a crackpot theory? Sure. But I just think that people might be underestimating how much the power structure means to Bill Belichick and how much Tom Brady in recent years has thrown that all out of whack. Again, the ethos of this coach, nobody's bigger than the team. And here comes Diva Boy here the last couple of years with his trainer, his not showing up, which you know is disobedience in the mind of Bill Belichick. How dare you defy me? Well, this is why, to me, I thought he had to prove a point by a guy that also acted bigger than the team, Malcolm Butler, prior to the Super Bowl. I'm benching your ass because I've had it with this crap. I've had it with having to deal with this stuff. So, spitefully, don't underestimate the power of malevolence and spite. All right, I can't do anything about Brady, Kraft, fine. I'm just going to start knocking off all his other guys. That team of everyone that else surrounds themselves with Brady, the Brady boys. Amendola, you're out. Nate Solder, your left tackle, you're out. Julian Edelman, I'll call up the league. Pring! You might want to look into this guy. He's dirty. Click. Let's see how good you really are. You think you're bigger than me? You think you're bigger than the team? Prove it, pretty boy.
I think he's got it nailed from A to Z. I think that's all. I think he's got the whole thing cinched.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub. 1-1. Rocketed to left. He pulled that one into the corner. That'll take a skip and drive in a run. Castellanos is in. Cabrera will trot on down to third, into second with a double. Candelario's 27th RBI. He smoked it. A little nervous right now, the 2-0. And a base in right field. Cabrera in to score. Candelario coming around. Martinez gunning to the plate. Here's the tag, and he is in to score. So Hicks has really been picking on lefties, hitting .324 against them. Comes through, and that'll make it 3-0 Detroit. And a 1-1. Slapped in the air, pretty well hit. Backing up Travis, turning around. That ball is out of here. A home run. Martin just nudges it out for a two-run shot to make it 5-0.
Kind of feel bad for Jalen at this point. We're talking about 5-0 from Jump Street. Yeah, this has been a disaster.
All right, Maz, has a Red Sox minute for you right here. How'd you enjoy the debut of Jalen Beeks last night?
Oh, I thought it was terrific. It lasted all of about 35 seconds, didn't it, before he got his brains beat in? Welcome to the big leagues, kid. This was the guy who was supposed to come out of the woodwork and be the savior of the Red Sox farm system, at least in my eyes. Like, that's how I looked at it. He got hammered. 5 runs in the first inning. And, honestly, I don't even think that's the worst part of the whole thing. You know what the worst part of it is? The stuff. I thought he looked extremely ordinary. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, you got a kid coming up and he had a bad night, and it's possible he did. I mean, it's one game, right? So you get take that into account. Watching him, I just didn't see anything there that made me go, ooh, there's potential there. He just looks like another run-of-the-mill guy you pulled up from the minor leagues. Now, look, I don't think they helped him out last night. Swihart behind the plate, J.D. Martinez in right field, Sam Travis in left. Like, could you put a worse defensive team on the field behind him? Not that that was a factor, but the Swihart thing, maybe. But I just don't see much there. I don't. He looks like a very sort of average, run-of-the-mill 4A lefty to me. That's what he looked like.
All right, so there's your Red Sox Minute. You can weigh in on that if you want. It is a gender-free Friday, so everything's on the board. We've certainly have been following what's been going on in Foxborough this week and today, and something was going on today. Something happened. Something almost happened. It's hard to figure out what was going on, but rumors there were rampant there for a little bit that something big was coming down, and then it was really specified towards Rob Gronkowski, and the Barstool boys are tweeting this out that, you know, they're hearing things about Gronkowski not being a Patriot by the end of the day, and the Patriots in Las Vegas are taken off the board at some point. And then, I don't know, feels like within an hour or two, it's all sort of shot down. Nothing's going to happen today, and the Patriots are back on the board. So, something was going on. Who knows? I mean, I have no idea. Maz, there was a tweet here from an interested party that you want to read?
Yeah, so Jimmy Stewart turned us on to this. And a guy on Twitter named Adam Bogdan, whose Twitter handle is at Patriots Inform, okay? At Patriots Inform, Adam Bogdan, and his his little bio on Twitter says, "I covered the New England Patriots in NFL draft. Former data analyst at Stats Inc. and writer at Patriots Life and at NE Patriotas or whatever."
He used to work for Stats Inc.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And he says free agent at the moment. But he tweeted a short time ago, 3:11 p.m. today. And I'm reading directly from the tweet now. "Today was almost definitely not a false rumor. A lot of different people from a variety of places were getting the same info. From what I pieced together, was that what was supposed to happen was shut down before pen met paper. And that wouldn't have been the worst part of it all." So now that last part there, the more I read it, is that whatever was supposed to happen was shut down, and there was something else that related to that would have been worse, I think. But the bottom line is, what he's telling you is that this isn't just bullcrap flying around in the air. A lot of people were hearing this info. It may be that Gronk was on the verge of being traded, and it got shut down. I'm just reading it from this guy's Twitter account.
Okay, so that's one of the things we're sort of wondering about. Did that happen? Is that... because that's happened down there before, you know. It happened on the quarterback thing. And, you know, it's been asked. We've asked this amongst ourselves. Would they trade Gronkowski? And I said, Bill would. I've said this all along. Bill would, but Kraft wouldn't. Not at this stage. You don't go all in on Brady and then let Bill trade Rob Gronkowski. You've got to keep the band together. I was surprised that they let Amendola go. So what the hell's going on down there is, I think, a fair question at this juncture.
Oh, my gosh. Like, as soon as I heard this Gronk thing today, you know who I thought of? Bob from Easton, who told us way back when that Gronk was going to be traded. Mark his words, and I thought, no. Could he have actually been on to something? But that tweet, it makes you feel like Belichick wanted to trade Gronk, and that someone intervened and said no, in all probability, ownership. Like, if that's what's going on down there, this thing's getting bad. It's already bad. It's getting worse, is what I should say. It just feels like people are all covering their own asses or doing things to spite other people.
And meanwhile, you got, like, all of a sudden Brady just totally going through the motions. Like, just, and apparently he's not going to stick around next week. They have another passing cap next week that's voluntary. And now Edelman's out for a month, and you've got to work in all these new guys, and it's going to be a challenging start to the season because of it. And Brady has hardly worked with these new receivers to begin with. And there's another passing camp next week that is another opportunity for him to get a head start on this and start putting in work with these guys, and he's not doing it. Like, what?
I mean, maybe this is all related, right? They have the mandatory mini camp, and Belichick comes out and seems to play nice, makes nice. Gronk comes out and generally answers questions, and maybe he's a little too blunt for his own good, you know, in Patriot terms. But then on the third day, Brady comes out, and what does he say? Nothing. Nothing. And not only that, he's asked if he's going to come to the optional workouts next week and won't do it. So maybe after all this, Bill says, you got to be kidding me. I extend an olive branch. 2 days later, you go out there, you do nothing.
Well, he actually did say, I love playing for him. I loved playing for him last year. He did do that. He answered that question in that manner.
But he wouldn't commit to coming to the optional workouts next week?
No, he would not. And apparently, according to Zoe, he will not. He will not be here next week.
Yeah, see, I didn't find Brady as forthcoming as you did yesterday.
Oh, I didn't say forthcoming. I just think it was important for him to stop and to give some comments.
Yeah, I just say, he, to me, he just doesn't come off as believable.
Well, no, I don't think it was believable either. I think but I think it was important for him to at least stop and say the right thing. Step one.
Okay, fair.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not DEFCON 4 where the guy can't even stop and say the right thing. He stopped and said the right thing. Okay, so at least there's some sort of functionality down there. Some. But not totally, because what was today?
So then right after that, it comes out that Edelman's been popped, and then today all of a sudden Gronk's flying around out there in a trade rumor? Like, I look at that and say, is, you know, what sort of your belief, Murray? Is Belichick looking at it going, oh, fine, you're going to come in on the mandatory, you're not going to be here on the next one? Let's get rid of your tight end, too. Yeah,
Brady's half-assing it, and Gronk, according to all the reports this week, he's been party boy all again, throwing the football into the trees, dancing after touchdowns and whatnot. I thought I put an end to this. So I haven't. You're up. You're out. You're gone.
So we lost Amendola. I didn't fight to keep him. We lost Solder. I wasn't going to fight to keep him. Edelman just got popped. He's injured. Otherwise, I would have traded his ass, too. And now, here's Gronk. And, you know, let me dangle him out there and someone intervened. Again, if you believe this tweet that's out there from Adam Bogdan, who, again, works for... He's independent, but used to work for
Stats. Works for nobody. Is a nobody. Used to work for Stats, Inc.
Okay. Today was almost definitely not a false rumor. A lot of different people from a variety of places were getting the same info. From what I pieced together was that what was supposed to happen was shut down before pen met paper. And then there's that line at the end that is cryptic and vague, and that wouldn't have been the worst part of it all, which I'm not really sure what that means. Are you? Do you?
Yeah, well, Kraft was going to fire Belichick. If you go through with this, if you go through with this trade, you're fired.
See, but I'm starting to wonder whether maybe that's not a bad outcome for Bill. Like, if Bill gets fired, he gets paid. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but he then has to explain, and he never would, but why'd you get fired? Because you were a petty a-hole?
No. No, he would have to explain. Kraft would have to explain why he fired Belichick.
Yeah, because he was spitefully trying to trade Rob Gronkowski to spite the quarterback.
So all I'm telling you, Murray, is that he wouldn't be the first coach or someone in position of power who would rather get fired than quit. That's all. That's all I'm telling you. And I'm not even sure that that's what's going on.
How stunning would that have been?
The Crafts aren't firing Belichick.
No shot.
No shot.
What?
I'm sorry, Jimmy?
What if the quarterback threatened retirement?
So that was going to be my other shoe to drop.
Oh.
Then that wouldn't have been the worst of it. So again, just play along in our fantasy land here. That Bill wants to trade Gronkowski. Kraft stops and says no. If he hadn't, there wouldn't have been an even worse shoe to drop. And that worst shoe to drop is Brady then. You're the one who brought this up a long time ago. That Brady then comes in and says, well, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, that one makes much more sense.
This thing is unbelievable what this has turned into down there.
I'm sorry, Jimmy?
This may not be over.
What makes you say that?
A text message I'll talk to you guys about off the air.
Okay, let's get off the air and then get in here with your phone. Come on.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, you in previous years, every year, OTAs, the importance of OTAs.
Yep.
What changed this year versus all those other years where you said this is the where you lay the foundation in those 6-7 weeks?
Yeah, I mean it's obviously important for everybody, and you know our coaches do a great job getting us ready, and you know just some personal reasons for me that you know, but I'm here now and focus on what I need to do, as I always am, and like I said, I'm looking forward to this year.
All right, Brady this week, just real quick, Jimmy's text messages visiting here. I'll just say, generically speaking, the Gronkowski rumor day may not be over. That's all. It may not be over. It may be, it may not be. I don't know. I'm out of the loop. But there's stuff floating around out there that the all that momentum that got going on Gronkowski and then sort of shut down may be back on the table or may have never gone off the table, or it just something still may happen. That's all. That's all we can say.
I mean, maybe this relates on some level to this guy on Reddit, right? I mean, we haven't brought him up yet. This guy who allegedly had the Edelman news before anyone else did and had posted it on Reddit, and now earlier today went out there again and said late last night said they had more news and that we could hear it by the end of the day.
He updated, by the way.
Oh, he did.
6 minutes ago. I don't remove anything. I barely know how Reddit works. Things are deleted, removed. It's
So hold on. Because
anyway, you'll have your story in about an hour.
Aye. All right, so the thing overnight was removed is what Jimmy was referring to. So the Reddit guy posted that overnight, as you said. It was removed today. 6 minutes ago, Reddit man says, I didn't remove it. I barely know how to work this thing. But the story that we've been talking about will come within the hour. So what can I tell you? We don't even need Jimmy's text message. We have Reddit man.
And the breaking news sounder is ready.
Okay, fingers are on buttons here, folks. You heard Brady just now, Maz, and you said to me, what, over the air?
I said,
off the air?
I said, if I'm Belichick and I heard Brady yesterday, I'd be pissed. I would. I'd be pissed. And I know he said nice things about Bill, but I just find Brady at the moment to be so not believable when he talks. Everything feels to me rehearsed.
I mean, I thought yesterday, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Well, I do think it was good for him to stop and say the right things. I do think that yesterday he was particularly wooden and uncomfortable and just distant. You know, I think he was really distant.
Oh, God, it's like the worst kind of press conference. It's like listening to John Farrell or a politician, for crying out loud, where all you're being fed is a lot of spin and bullcrap, and there's nothing real there. And again, if, I'm just telling you from my point of view. If I were Belichick, I'd look at it and go, oh, my God, you are so disingenuous. You are so disingenuous. Can you at least own it?
But didn't Bill do the exact same thing 2 days earlier?
Yeah.
We've always had a good relationship. Bill did the exact same thing.
He did it just yesterday, the way that he started his press conference. I got no news to report.
Wait a minute.
A smile on his face.
And Bill has the right to get on anyone for giving a bad press conference?
Would
you stop with this?
So again, I've been on Belichick's side of this because I think Brady is the one who has really been a departure from what he normally is.
Stick with the thing about next week. That would piss me off. It would piss me off if Brady wasn't here to begin with. Never mind now all of this. You've lost Edelman. You still haven't really put in any extra time with these new guys. We're having another passing camp next week, and you're out again? Like, that would piss me off.
Of course, yes. I mean, and I think that, you know, to me, Brady is acting very selfishly now. I don't know any other way to say it. And that's why, Murray, you asked me yesterday, you know, how is Brady any different? Why are you getting agitated about it now? He always does his press conference that way. And you're right. The difference to me now is Brady's acting selfishly. And I have a hard time looking at him with the same level of respect I had before. I can take the lies if I think you're in it for the greater good and you're in it for the team. It doesn't feel that way anymore.
Okay, so I hear you on that, too. I hear you on that. Was he just doing it to do it and get out of there?
Right.
You know, right. And he wasn't really trying. I said this yesterday. I'm in favor of him lying or putting it on if that's what's best for the team. It's in everyone's interest to say the right thing, put on a happy face, and go to work. Okay? But even that was, boy, it was cold. It was just like, it wasn't even a good fakery.
Exactly. Like, I listened to it and went, oh, my God. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, I have personal reasons. Oh, stop. Like, you didn't have your personal reasons at the end of the Facebook video. You'll talk about your feelings when it serves you and your sentiments when it serves you. And you'll, you know, again, I feel like he's using the media, using the fans. Like, it's all good when it serves you. But now somebody wants something back and you can't give it back? Like, that bugs the crap out of me. Because that's one way. And I hate one way. I hate one way more than anything in the world. So, like, I have a hard time stomaching him at the moment. I'm not telling you I want to get rid of him or any of that, because I don't feel that way. They're in with Brady now. Keep him, win games, obviously. But how he's acting for me is hard to stomach.
Okay, it was very ominous early in the day that there was something big coming down the pike with the Patriots that was then sort of shut down. Is it now back on the table? Is there a big shoe to drop at Gillette today? That's what we're monitoring with your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Chris Gasper is standing by. We take no commercials, just an update here with Jim Murray with the very latest. Gasper's joined by us, and then we continue what we're doing here on Agenda Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.